Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro de Madrid, gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Oribe!
This is Soccer Matters. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into hour number two here at the Senate Avenue Brewery. Here at 16,000 Dillard. It's right off of 290. This is a great spot. Senate Ave is outstanding place. Seven monitors here. There is all kinds of great food, craft beer. Andrew Mitchum's here. Pat Onstad's here signing some autographs after that interview we did with him. Two segments for him. We really thank him very much for coming on the show here tonight. We have a lot more to go here tonight. We got more tickets to give away. We just gave some Gold Cup tickets away, courtesy of LSSE.net, and we've given some Dynamo tickets away. Dynamo take on Minnesota tomorrow night, by the way. Minnesota comes in second in the West, 6-2-4 on the year. They're a good road team at 3-1-2. So we continue on. By the way, quick word here for Cactus Music. All the music tonight is in honor of Cactus Music. For vinyl, CDs, you want to go down there if you want to get the best in pre-owned vinyl, new vinyl. If you're spinning at home and you've got a setup, it's a great place. It's kind of like a museum when you go in there. It's hard to leave. It is Cactus Music, my good friend Quinn down there. And we welcome you back. All right, segment now we're going to talk. Well, first of all, supporters group culture in Houston is massive. There's so many supporters groups out there, we don't even know a lot of them. And they're all over Houston in an area where there's proper 7 to 8 million people. So since El Clasico went on this past weekend, we figured, you know what? Let's get on the Houston Coolest. Let's get on the Peña Madrista HTX. I know there's other groups as well, but we got you on. And so we've got Ruben Murillo here. We've got Victor Valencek. Ruben, I'll start with you. Thank you very much for coming out here tonight and taking the time.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, we appreciate having you here. Just to give you a platform off the top, just tell us a little bit about your supporters group, how it was formed, what it's about.
Okay, mostly everything start watching soccer. And we started in 2017, just a bunch of guys getting together to watch soccer, Real Madrid in this case. And then it's like, okay, let's keep it going. And more people start coming together, more families. And then we start in social media. And then it's a big ball rolling. And it grew to the point that we fill out the form to become a Peña, official Peña with Real Madrid.
So you're endorsed officially by Real Madrid.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, we are. And we're happy with that because the main goal it was to make it any people, any person, any background, any belief could come and watch soccer with
inclusive,
us.
Inclusive to
and
everybody.
And make it a family welcome. Kids.
Yeah.
Elderly people. Doesn't matter. Everyone is welcome to
I love this idea. So there's a big social component to it as well. And I'm going to turn to Victor now.
That's
the tough
correct.
Questions are coming, though, Ruben. So
all
be
right.
ready. Be ready. All right. So I'm going to come to you, Victor. I mean, I've known you a long time. This
yep.
is the first time I got to meet Ruben. Houston Coolis, I want to start with you, and before we talk about your supporters group, you were just at the Copa del Rey. I watched this on TV, and I'm sitting there going, oh, I wish I was there. So just tell us about the experience. Take us deep into it.
Oh, my gosh. No, I appreciate being here. And being at the Copa del Rey, I've been very fortunate. I've been to two El Clasicos in my life. I've been to the 2018 5-1 at the Camp Nou, and I thought that was probably one of the best experiences of my life. But this, in Seville, in a neutral territory, with a split crowd, and it was heavier, like 60-40, Madrid to Barcelona. But there was something different about the Culés, the fans in Seville. From getting off the train to being in the city, they all wanted to be together. And the singing and the chanting just continued all day long. We were in the stadium 2 hours before, and there was already 10,000 to 15,000 just singing at the top of their lungs. The energy and the excitement that Culés felt for that game, it was just palpable. Everybody was on fire that day.
Let me follow up with this. In America, there's a lot of reasons why people go to games. Might be the sushi. It might be, you know, there's a lot of things that bring you to a game. Is this more raw football, straight about football, and less about all the buildup and things when you go to a Barcelona game when they're at home?
When they're at home, I mean, it's...
Like, you know how we dress it up here? People have to get things. There's food, courts. There's... Do you have as much of that, or is it a little raw and straight to the point?
I think I've been to Barcelona. I go every year. I've been going since 2016, so I've seen a lot of games. And the experience is match day is just about being together, going to the local bars, you know, having a few cañas, enjoying yourself, and then making your way into the stadium and just enjoying that day. Obviously, things like Copa del Rey, going that is an experience because you have to take the train or fly into Seville and, you know, be in a neutral site. So that had a whole different element to the energy and excitement around it because it was a final that was different than your regular match day experience.
All right. He's Victor Valencek of Houston Coolis. Let's go back to Ruben Murillo. All right, Ruben. Now, you've done a lot of winning over the years with Real Madrid, just like Barcelona. This wasn't the best of years. Was your supporters group pretty emotional this year?
Every year. Every year is emotional because either you win, either you lose. Yes, this year it was a little tough for many reasons. And, I mean, if you see soccer with a reality perspective, we were a little bit doubting of we couldn't make it this year. And especially with a great team that Barcelona is.
Why were you doubtful?
Because of the all the players with being not able to play, a lot of them because injuries here and there, no buying new players at the beginning of the season.
Ruben, don't cry me a river for poverty of not having players. Real Madrid, I understand that when some get injured, but, I mean, was it really that bad that it cost you the entire year?
It's a mixture of decision from the top
Fair
to
enough.
The bottom.
Fair enough.
So from the president, from the coach, from the players, we don't blame no one. And we're not crying in the river here.
Right.
It's just we put it in within. The problem is within. I mean, decision not to buy players. The other one on the coach not to give more minutes to many other players.
So a little bit on Carlo Ancelotti. All right, so that leads me to my next thing. Xabi Alonso is expected to take the job. How do you feel about him getting the job?
Obviously, him having a Madridista background, we feel happy. But many of us, we doubt that would it be or this would it be the best time to bring him in. Why? Because he don't have enough experience with a big locker room like Real Madrid does.
But I'm not sure many people do, right?
Not many people do.
So is that a big problem? Last one for you real quick. Is that a big problem getting the best out of Vinny and Mbappe? Because If he comes in and doesn't get those guys on his side, he's going to have a rough go. He has to get them on his side.
Probably, yes. It got to be done that way. I mean, those are not the best players right now, but two out of the five best players playing right now. So, yeah, they got to bring all that out of them.
All right, that's definitely. Ruben Murillo, Peña Madrista, HTX. Before we go, we're going to get all the information if people want to come and join the group. Victor, take me to a guy that I love, Pedri, because I think he gets a little bit overshadowed by, you know, Lamine Yamal and Rafinha and everybody else, the importance of him. Also the entry balls and getting the team into the final third. The guy's exceptional.
No, there's no question. Pedri, by far, is probably the most critical, you know, player that we've got on the team. Clearly, anytime that he does go off, we've seen a drop-off. The ability for him to be able to control the ball and just to watch him with the ball, I mean, it gives you those Iniesta and Xavi feels, because it's just like the moment, it's like the ball is glued to his foot. You know it's not going anywhere, and he's going to get the ball to the right person. So that control, the delivery, and then coming up in big with some big plays as well. So Pedri is absolutely critical to this team.
No question. Most entertaining team on the planet for me right now.
Absolutely.
To a fault, maybe, attacks, but I don't care because I want the entertainment value.
Oh.
And it may have cost them, to a degree, the Champions League run.
It's not that we lost the Champions League. I think we all say Champions League lost Barcelona. I mean, to not have us in the most exciting team this year there with Lamine Yamal and what Rafinha is doing and what these kids are doing, 17-year-old kids who are just the passion that they have for what they're playing, and they're playing with they just don't care. They just attack and attack.
All right,
and attack.
When you're in your place watching this with the rest of the Houston Coolists, we're talking to Victor Valencek. And there's 2 minutes left. Are you guys shouting, hold the ball, knock it back, manage the game? Meanwhile, everybody's flying forward. Yamal hits the post. Are you guys saying, calm it down, slow the game down?
In those moments, it's tough because, you know, the magic just keeps happening. The comebacks just keep happening. We've seen just a half a dozen comebacks that have been critical to us, even just – you know, right here this past weekend, we were down, you know, 0-2, and we came back again to take the lead, three goals in 30 minutes. So, actually, four
goals.
But
I would also say damn near almost threw that game away, too, by the fact that they didn't finish, right?
There, I mean,
all
could
of
have
a
been
sudden, Mbappe's got the hat trick, and I'm going, okay, we might get a Real Madrid one of these, you know, I mean.
Absolutely.
It was an incredible watch, though, incredible watch,
yeah.
No question about it. Ruben, I want to take you into Vinny and Mbappe. Massive egos, massive talents, right?
They are.
Big timers. Do you feel they play as well together as they could?
No. Definitely they have a lot of room to improve. Both with different characteristics. And there was this analysis made by Ronaldo that it says that Mbappe, he has to change his mind in how he plays in Real Madrid. Because it's not the same playing in PSG.
How?
Or,
how is the question? How does he change to play at Madrid?
He has to learn how to move. Have to position himself in a different way of play. Because he was the star on PSG. In Real Madrid, you have 1, 2, 3, 4 different starts that they want to take the lead. So it's everyone have to get together and learn to play. I move this way. I move the other way. Beanie plays this way. Other players, they do this. It's just different ways to play. He has to learn that. And how? Being in the position he's played as a 9. I mean, Real Madrid is being a lot of years already not having a 1-9 in position there. he the nine plays in a different role.
Benzema?
Yes, but it wasn't the nine stock at the area right there, at the small area. Benzema, it was coming down, going to the side, pulling the defenders. So the other guys could come in.
Okay.
And that was the
would
game.
Come underneath.
Yeah. Then whenever Ronaldo left, yes, it was a time for Benzema. But.
Yeah, at that point he was an out and out nine.
But it was 2 years only. Two, mm-hmm. 3 years only.
Now. I think he's doing better in Saudi Arabia or wherever.
Well, yeah, he's making money.
Hold on with me, Ruben. Ruben, he's making more than all of us combined.
Oh,
I'm pretty
yeah.
sure about that. Stick with me real quick, real fast here. Victor, I want you to tell me about your group, how people can find out about it, how they can join.
Absolutely. The Houston Coulées, you can find us. Again, we're all over the place, and we post on all the social networks. If you're on Instagram, it's Houston_Coulées, Houston Coulées on X. And basically, again, our group, we've seen clearly people like to be around a winning team. So our members have the numbers coming into the bar over at the Velvet Oak Tavern. We're in there week in, week out, and the numbers are huge.
It's on Richmond, right?
It's actually on Alabama, just about a block west of Shepherd.
I know.
Yeah, the numbers have been great. Everybody wants to be out there and be part of a winning team, and this has been a great season. We can seal the deal on Thursday.
Well, you got two good winners here, so if you want a winning team, then you want to join a supporters group. Ruben, give us the information about your group.
Houston, Real Madrid Peña HTX, or P Madridista HTX, that's how you find us on social media, any platform, P Madridista HTX. We get together at Ducky McSweeney's in Galleria area. Nice place, nice pub, and like he said, we like to be around winning teams, and we add up on that we like to have fun. Families, friends coming over. So everyone is welcome to it.
Great social aspect to it. Listen,
yes.
I want to thank both of you guys very much for coming out. Ruben, very nice to meet you
for the first time.
Best of luck, and thank you very much for your contributions on the show tonight. And also you, Victor, who I've known for a number of years.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you for coming on, as always, and really enlightening our audience. And supporters group culture's alive. Give these guys a round of applause for coming out. We're all like-minded. We love the game, and if you can get into a great supporters group, it's a wonderful thing. I can tell we got the cutest Madrista here in the house. That's for sure, 100%. You can't see that because we're listening here. All right, that's going to do it here for this segment. We are coming back with the legendary Astros announcer, Bill Brown. He is up next. He's written a really interesting new book. Bill is up next here tonight. A big, big thank you to everybody out here at Senate Avenue Brewing. 16,000 Dillard, Jersey Village. That's where you come. Right off of 290 near Beltway 8. Come on out now. Lots of soccer people in the house here. And show's not over. We're going to finish this strong here. We go 90 minutes every time on this show. We don't take off 5 minutes. We don't take plays off. Take a break. LamontBrands.com.
A la Madrid.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube. This is Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Baritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Wonderful pub here, Senate Avenue Brewing. It's out in Jersey Village, 16,000 Dillard. If you're driving around, well, guess what? And you're an Astros fan, you can pop in and see the legendary Bill Brown is about to join me here for an interview. I just want to get into something real fast here. Team Houston is an organization creating a lot of events around the World Cup. May 22nd, Soccer and Sport Innovation Summit, the ION. It's from 1:30 to 6 p.m. There's going to be a variety of panels on sport and soccer, various panels on Houston soccer, panels featuring Dutch and U.S. speakers and companies. Boy, wouldn't that be nice if the Netherlands got grouped here in Houston? That would be good. 25 delegates from the Netherlands, including the Soccer Federation, the KNVB, will be there. Info at www.team-houston.com. With that, we welcome in the legendary Bill Brown, the former Houston Astros play-by-play man, but also a noted author as well. Bill, thank you for coming out.
Always great to see you, and this gave me a perfect excuse to see my favorite soccer broadcaster.
So how did we meet, by the way? Did we start talking about the difference in calling baseball and calling
yeah.
soccer? I think
weren't,
that's how
weren't
it started,
we at
right?
a charity event down inside
yes.
the loop?
Yes.
And Andrew was there and Bill Worrell and a bunch
Correct.
Of different people, and that's where we met.
That's where it was. That was a fun night. And I was lucky to be with you and Bill Worrell, two real legends of broadcasting. All right, so before we get into your book, and we are going to get into a really, really interesting book, Bill's got a new book out. It's called Wartime Athletes, Stories of Sports Stars Who Joined the U.S. Team. This is fascinating. I have particular interest in it because my dad was a World War II vet. Bill is a veteran as well. But I was looking you up today to trying to find out tidbits and doing my homework like every good commentator should do. And I saw an amazing picture of you around the batting cages with a notepad and a pen.
Oh, right.
And,
right.
And talking to players around the batting cage. I would imagine you got a lot of good info around the batting cage.
You know, I would like to say yes, but and maybe 30 years ago, yes. But now they are so intent on focusing on taking their swings in that cage. They're not very talkative right now. They're
yeah.
really not, honestly.
Because of hitting.
They're working.
Yeah.
That's not the best time to talk.
But did you get information during those times?
I did, because once you get to know people, they will give you a few. And this is the thing, as you know, about doing an everyday sport. You can't say what you said last night.
Yeah.
You have to have fresh material every night.
Yeah.
So what can we say about Jose Altuve? Well, what's already been said? Volumes.
Yeah.
And what can we get that's different about it? And that becomes the question and the challenge for a baseball broadcaster.
He's Bill Brown, former Astros announcer, also Cincinnati Reds. I'm always amazed with you because a lot of people are like, oh, boy, I miss calling the game or I miss playing the game. But I asked you once, how's life after baseball? And you're like, I'm having a great time.
Yeah. No, you have to move on. And especially, you know, I mean, I got fired once, and I was, I think, 40, so wasn't quite ready to retire or able to retire at that point, Glenn. So you have to move on and bounce on quickly. But if you're fortunate enough and blessed enough to be able to do it on your own terms, then that means you can shut that door, and that means you've given some thoughts to life after sports.
You know something? I've worked with a lot of the same producers and directors and people that you have in television in Houston, and it's amazing. Every single person that when I mention, hey, I'm having lunch with Bill Brown, or he's coming on my radio show, or they all go, that's the greatest guy. I mean, that is a real compliment to me.
Well,
I know I'm not trying to embarrass you, but when people have that quick of a retort and it's something as positive as I hear, and I'm just like, yeah, I get it because I've eaten lunch with him. That man is solid.
Well, as you know, what we do, we're the lucky ones.
True.
What we do is teamwork, and we happen to get more credit than we should get
Absolutely.
For a successful broadcast. If our microphone doesn't work, that's not a good broadcast, et cetera. There are a lot of people behind the scenes who don't get the credit they should.
No question. So I want to share a quick story, and then we're going to get into the book. Bill has called some legendary calls. Biggio's 3,000 hit. Mike Fiers is no hitter, right? Mm-hmm. Did I say his name right?
Yes.
When I was a kid growing up, I was a huge Mets fan, and you and I talked about the 69 game where there was the fight at Shea, and I was there as a kid taken out of school. And you go, oh, I was calling that game.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was cool. But to me as a kid, we didn't get all that information that social media gives that maybe you don't even want to know about guys now. So they became godlike to you. I mean, that time period, you saw them playing. You were just like, wow, these guys are gods. You're not hearing what they're doing off the field. You don't know if they're married or divorced or
right.
any of this stuff.
Right.
Take me into now comparatively to when you were calling games and how different it is with technology.
Oh, it is. It's so different. And the fans know so much more. As you said, you know, they had jobs. They weren't necessarily able to get on their phones and see what the latest was in afternoon baseball. They were working. They got home, and they needed to be told that information. And so it was really more basic, I think, Glenn. Now, you know, the Todd Callises, the Jeff Blums of the world can assume that people are up to speed. Most of them are.
Yeah.
And so they kind of go in a different direction than we did at that time.
Yeah, very, very, very different. What else would be the bigger differences to you?
We only televised in Cincinnati when I was there in the 70s, maybe 40 games a year.
Wow.
That was it.
That's it?
And then cable proliferated in the 80s, and then that's when teams started doing 100 or even every game.
Yeah.
But it took that long, and it was a radio sport.
Yeah.
Definitely. I grew up listening to baseball on the radio, and it is magical. It really is.
And you did a lot of your early learning and, you know, cutting your teeth in the Cincinnati area, right?
Yes.
Xavier, yes. I mean, you called all kinds of sports.
Yeah, it was, you know, Cincinnati's a
great... Did you call hockey, too?
Yeah, hockey. Not very well. But, you know, did you grow up following hockey yourself?
I had the New York Rangers in New York, which they sell out every game, even with the good or bad.
Right.
So I did.
You know, we had the St. Louis Blues, but we were 200 miles from St. Louis, and I did not follow it.
Right.
And so trying to learn that when you're already working in the industry is difficult.
Yeah.
Learning and just the speed of the sport.
Well, I look at you doing baseball, or I look at somebody doing the NFL, and I'm like, I could never do that. I could never. And once somebody tried to get me to transfer over to other sports, I go, guys, I'm an ex-soccer player. I'm sticking to what I think I know a little bit about. All right, I want to get you into the new book. It's called Wartime Athletes.
Yes.
Stories of Sports Stars Who Joined the U.S. Team. And first of all, this is a remarkable book. I read some of the transcript you sent me. Just tell me how this started for you. You're a military man as well, and why you wanted to write this book particularly.
Well, we have a committee where we live, a 55 and over community that's a veterans committee. And what we do is we put on events to raise some money to give to military charities. That's the reason we exist.
You do a lot of that.
Yeah, so we also do ceremonial things at Memorial Day and Veterans Day. We have a little veterans park that the developer of the community built right on the water, on the lake there, Town Lake in Cypress. And we'll have a regular ceremony, and we will so we have one coming up, Memorial Day, in a couple weeks.
Big one.
We're planning that. We had a meeting about that today. Who's speaking? We sing the patriotic songs and things of that nature. We'll have maybe 50 people there.
Mm-hmm.
But last Veterans Day, I was asked by the committee, hey, we need somebody to speak for 2 minutes or whatever, very short. And so I had to do a little prep for that. And then we have a middle school that's right across the street from that site where that park is. And they, believe it or not, have a ceremony. They have a school assembly kind of thing honoring veterans. They invite all the veterans of the community.
Wonderful.
They'll have little breakfast sandwiches for us. They'll have the orchestra out there playing patriotic songs. They'll have kids from the classes giving speeches.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really had to do some work for that one because that's a button-down ceremony, right?
Yeah.
And so it came from that. It came from doing some research and checking into, not necessarily at that time, athletes, but, you know, you think of Audie Murphy and the great World War II heroes,
stories,
and people like that. And you know, if you've followed baseball for a long time as you have, you know about Ted Williams, you know about Warren Spahn, and all these different baseball stars who served in World War II. But maybe you don't know about, you know, World War I, Vietnam. Everybody knows about Pat Tillman in Afghanistan.
Yeah. Roger Staubach.
Roger, yes. So there are those big names that most sports fans are aware of for serving their country. But then there are people like Lou Brissy, Major League Baseball pitcher. Most people have never heard of Lou Brissy.
Can you tell that story? Is that the one you told me on the phone?
Yeah.
Okay. So Bill's book is about these guys that were athletes, professional athletes, also in the military. So tell this story and mention his name, because this is mind-blowing to me.
So Lou Brissy was from South Carolina. He was a left-handed pitcher. He was 6'5". He threw the ball hard, and he wanted to play Major League Baseball, of course. And the Philadelphia A's were interested in him, Connie Mack's team. Connie Mack was the owner and manager.
Legendary.
And so they had shown some interest in him, and then he got drafted. He went into World War II. He was fighting in Italy. He got wounded. He was left for dead on the battlefield. He had 23 surgeries, and they wanted to amputate his left leg below the knee. And he said, oh, no, you can't take my left leg. I'm a pitcher. I'm going to play baseball.
Wow.
And the doctor said, no, son, you may not walk again. We can't be doing that. He said, I'll take the responsibility, but you leave my leg.
Wow.
And then they fashioned a prosthetic leg below the knee for him. And he worked his way back when he got out of the Army. And he went to Connie Mack, said, hey, give me a tryout. He was on a crutch for this tryout. And Connie Mack looked at him and said to himself, this guy is never going to pitch. And he won. He was an all-star in 1949.
Jesus.
Won 16 games.
Unbelievable.
Just against all odds. And, you know, some of the legendary players of the day said, well, if he hadn't been in World War II, the guy might have been a Hall of Famer. You never know. He was that good.
Yeah.
And there are other stories like this. There are many stories like that involving people, you know, football. Mario Tonelli, Notre Dame running back, was involved in the Bataan Death March.
Holy smoke.
Yeah, so they marched him 60 miles over about 7 days.
Oh, they were like skeletons.
Yeah, no food or water.
Yeah.
If they dropped to the ground, they were shot usually and killed.
Jeez.
He's marching along. One of the Japanese guards sees this ring he's wearing and holds him at bayonet length and says, give me that ring. And he said, I'm not doing it. And one of his fellow prisoners said, you better do it or you're going to be dead. He gave it up. So it was his Notre Dame class ring.
Oh, man.
From 1937. And then there was a Japanese officer who had been witnessing this who came up to him a few minutes later and said, I saw what happened. Is that your class ring? He said, yeah. He said, is this it? And he handed it to him. He said, yeah, that's it. He said, well, hold on to it, and don't let anybody see it.
Wow.
So when he went to the prison camp, he buried it in a soap dish under the barracks, underground, until he got out of there.
Wow.
And he came back, and he weighed, you know, I don't know, 120 pounds or something. It was ridiculous. And he played one more game in the NFL for the Chicago Cardinals just so he could qualify for his pension. The owner did that for him.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Talking to Bill Brown, wartime athlete stories of sports stars who joined the U.S. team. How can people buy the book?
It's on Amazon. It's on Amazon. We're making some changes for it, and it should be ready to go in another day or two. But it's you can get paperback for $15, hardcover $20, and it's an e-book also.
Wartime athlete stories of sports stars who joined the U.S. team. Now, what about you told me a story about military baseball teams that were put together to play like the Yankees.
Right.
Tell me how that worked, because that was a big morale boost, right, for the U.S.
Exactly.
during these wars.
Yeah, good point, Glenn. And, you know, so the Joe DiMaggio's of the world did not get sent into combat. He wanted to be in combat, and he was told, no, you can help us more with a bat than with a rifle.
Incredible.
And so they played in exhibition games all over. They'd go to Hawaii, they'd go to New Jersey, they'd play in Yankee Stadium against major league teams, and they would bring in a lot of money for war bonds.
Wow.
So they were helping the military effort, even though they weren't on the front lines, they were raising very important money from war bonds.
Yeah, didn't you tell me Yankee Stadium had like $60,000 for one of these?
Yeah, it was a big deal. People supported the effort for the war, but also they wanted entertainment. You know, all the best players from the major leagues were gone. They were in the service for the most part.
I remember my mom saying that it was like not a lot of men around, and a lot of them were guys that might have had something wrong with their leg.
Well, one-armed Pete Gray for the St. Louis Browns, one-armed outfielder.
What else? Give me one more person that you like in this book, their story. Because I could sit here all night and ask you this.
Maurice Britt. Maurice Britt was from a little town in Arkansas. played for the Razorbacks, was in the NFL with the Detroit Lions, caught a big pass in 1942, I think, in a game that they won. They were a bad team. He got drafted. He was sent to Italy. He was in an infantry unit. He got his arm blown off.
Jeez.
And he picked up his arm, and then he blacked out. And he before he picked up his arm, he thought, this is it for me. I'm dead. But so they took the arm, they amputated it. He came back, and he eventually became the lieutenant governor of Arkansas.
Wow.
Had a long career.
Incredible.
Yeah.
By the way, you had mentioned to me, Bill did a lot of painstaking research for this. I mean, the amount of time you put into this research-wise, you told me this was a slugfest to get through this one.
Well, if anybody is so bored as to want to read a bibliography, there are about 32 really good books in that bibliography. I'm not going to tell you I read every word of every one because that would be a lie.
Yeah. But you, I mean, this must be something you're really, really proud of. I mean, you're an author. I mean, the amount of books you wrote, you've done the Astros 60-year history through 2021. I think you took that on. Houston Astros Golden Era, that one. You did the sportscasting book. By the way, if you're an aspiring sportscaster out there, this is a book you want to read because it recounts the experience of a lot of names you'll know and how they got into the business.
Like Glenn Davis.
Well, you can skip over that one. You can.
Good story, though.
Well,
good story.
I didn't go to school for it.
That's a great story.
I have to be honest with you. I didn't go to school for it.
That's fine.
Well, Bill, one more time, remind us, wartime athlete stories of sports stars who joined the U.S. team. Where can they get it again?
Amazon. And, I'd love to have you read these stories. And the real purpose of the book was to keep the stories alive.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. It couldn't be better said than that. I will be buying a copy.
Great. Well, thank you.
Bill, thank you for coming in tonight.
Thank you.
He's Bill Brown, the legendary Houston Astros announcer, Cincinnati Reds, but just as equally noted for being a tremendous author, and he has penned a number of books, including Wartime Athlete Stories of Sports Stars Who Joined the U.S. Team. We're going to come back. Got a couple of notes here on some things in the international soccer world, a bit on the Dynamo ahead of Minnesota United. We'll close it out. If you're out and about, hit us up, Senate Avenue Brewing. We're having a great time out here talking soccer, baseball, and Bill Brown.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Senate Avenue Brewing. We are in what, Brian? We are in?
Stoppage time.
It's stoppage time. It's our final segment of the night tonight. Great night out here. Great guests. Great group of like-minded soccer people. Still got T-shirts here. There's many of them available. We are having a great time. What a segment there with Bill Brown, the former Astros play-by-play man and author. Fantastic. Dynamo got beat 3-1 by Seattle in their last game. And by the way, Senate Avenue Brewing, seven monitors here. They're all lit up. Great place for soccer watching. 290 Beltway 8, really good location, so you don't always have to come into the city to check out a great pub or a brew pub in this case where it's all fresh beer to catch games. You don't have to go all the way into the city. And if you're in this area, you can begin to make this your soccer watching spot, and you can begin to make this the place that you're going to ultimately want to watch a lot of the international soccer and World Cup 2026. So there you go. Big shout out here, Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. Three locations, Woodlands, I-10 in the Beltway, Montrose, Souvlaki's, Giro's, you name it. Also a shout out to Hugh O'Connor's Pub. A big thank you to them. They are supporters of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And, of course, our presenting sponsor, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713, call now. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. You get in the car, boat, motorcycle accident. Maybe you work construction. I don't know. You might drive an 18-wheeler. You want the best. It is John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Okay. Dynamo got hit for the first goal against Seattle in the 3-1 loss this past weekend. They would then come back, though. He got hit in the 21st minute. Christian Roldan for Seattle was in midfield. Drives the ball forward. Brooklyn Reigns had a little bit of a struggle dealing with it. And Paul Rothrock got in behind. It pulled Obafemi, pulled Femi Awadesu out of the middle. And then Ethan Bartlow came running back. The Dynamo in real trouble here. And then ball gets clipped to the back post. Musovski pulls off it, scores for his fifth straight game. That gave Seattle the 1-0 lead. But then the Dynamo would come back in the 32nd minute. This is the soundbite for the Houston Dynamo, Sean. This is the goal for Obafemi Awadesu. And the other reason why this is important, this was his first Major League Soccer goal. McGlynn Linger has shown up on this far side of the field. He gets shouldered off it. It's going to be a free kick again. So Andre Linger's drawing free kicks. And this is why you want him around the penalty area. It's as simple as that. He's willing to run at people and with conviction, not with hesitation. He's not looking to pass it. He's looking to run at people. And this is a piece of the attack that the Dynamo needed, along with this man, Jack McGlynn's ability from longer range. These two elements have been missing. You haven't got the special plays since Hector Herrera left. McGlynn to the back post. That's 1-1. Obafemi Awadesu, the rookie out of Penn State, has tied it up. What a moment for the first-year center back for the Houston Dynamo. So that was from the local call, and tomorrow night I'll have the local call again. Minnesota United taking on the Houston Dynamo. All right, right now, a pair of tickets to that game tomorrow night, Wednesday night, May 14th, 7:30 p.m. Minnesota United, number 2 in the West, taking on the Dynamo at Shell Energy Stadium. Pair of tickets right now at 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, caller number 3. All right, we continue on. So what happens in this game is that near the end of the first half, Obafemi Awadesu would get sent off. It's called dog so, denial of goal-scoring opportunity. He was the last man. Pretty harsh, tough call, to be honest. So Dynamo go down to 10 men. They did appeal it. The appeal was overturned. So Obafemi Awadesu will not be available this weekend. You heard Pat Onstad talking about the fact that we're going to see a lot of the new players, you know, that are coming into the Dynamo fold now in a month where they're going to have a total of 10 games. And, yeah, this is a make-or-break month, quite honestly. Make-or-break month. Well, I think we're about to close it down here tonight. Big shout out to Thomas Muller. 743 matches for Bayern Munich, 13 Bundesliga titles, 33 trophies, 25 years at Bayern Munich. He will be moving on. If you ever talked about a player who could find space and wasn't flashy, wasn't a dribbler, it was Thomas Muller. They call him Ramdeuter because of that, a player who finds space, not a flashy dribbler. All right, let's wrap it up tonight. Big thank you to Brian McDonald out here all day. Big thank you to Sean Mapes. 8 hours of producing. You, my friend, are a two-way midfielder back in studio. So is Brian out here. We appreciate Victoria out here running the show with all the merchandise and everything. And, of course, a big shout-out to Senate Avenue Brewing out here at 16,000 Dillard, Senate Avenue Brewing, a great sponsor of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Remember, we are out here every second Tuesday of the month. So a month from now, we'll be back out here. Big thank you to everybody who came out. Dynamo Operations ahead on the soccer side. Pat Onstad, Bill Brown, the great legendary producer, Victor Valencek, Mr. Murillo from the Madrid supporters group. Big thank you to everybody. I'm Glenn Davis. Good night, everyone. You can catch the podcast of this show, ESPN 97.5, Spotify, Google, and Apple. Good night, everyone.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.